Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Letters from Sadie. Letters written by Sadie Claire Markham Montgomery from the Norton, Kansas Tuberculosis Sanatorium by Darla Hedrick Quinn is a true, compelling story told through a collection of letters written in the depths of the Great Depression from 1932 to 1933. The book tells the story of Sadie, a wife and a mother, and shares the feelings of faith, separation, fear, hope, and love that she experienced while suffering from a debilitating illness. The memoir chronicles part of one woman's life events, demonstrating a love for family, portraying opportunities for avocation for an ill or elderly family member requiring assistance. It also provides a historical glimpse into the lives of a poor farm family living in southeast Kansas. Darla earned a bachelor's degree in mathematics and computer science from Pittsburgh State University, Pittsburgh, Kansas, her executive master of business administration degree from Washington University in St. Louis. In 2008, she retired as executive director project management at AT&T after a 31-year career. Darla served as the primary caregiver and advocate for her mother for 11 and a half years while her mother was a resident at assisted living facilities in Parsons, Kansas and San Antonio, Texas. Darla currently resides with her husband, Francis, in San Antonio, Texas. Darla Hedrick Quinn, author of Letters from Sadie, letters written by Sadie Claire Markham Montgomery from the Norton, Kansas Tuberculosis Sanatorium, is our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Darla. Welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Hello, Rick. It's good to be here with you.
I mentioned the background. Sort of give us an idea of who you are and what you've gone through in your life to write this book. Did I miss anything there? Anything else about your life that you'd like to share with us? You've done, and you're a published author as well. I should have included that, obviously, in there in a very good one. Anything else about your life that we should know?
Just first and foremost, I'm a wife, a sister, aunt, daughter, and a dog mom. As you mentioned, I majored in math and computer science, so I'm a bit of a geek, and I consider myself very logical, detail-oriented, and organized. My hobbies include travel, reading, I'm into book clubs, photography, and music. I love sports and have played many sports. I own a 56 Classic Thunderbird that I inherited from my father, and I have also volunteered for several organizations, including a helpline and a touch dog therapy program. I will tell you that being there for family was instilled in me at a very young age, as my family frequently traveled to see my grandparents, aunts, uncles. And also I have witnessed illness and death since I was very young. So I have come to appreciate the great circle of life.
You know, it's interesting, and we will go through the stories in Letters from Sadie, and one aspect of that is how important it is to have people, as you mentioned, in your circle, people that are there to help, and so many of us find ourselves in the position of caregivers, and you've been there for an extended period, and you can give us some tips and things, the do's and the don'ts of what we need to do as we go through that period with our loved ones. I want to talk about where the idea for this book began. How did Letters from Sadie begin? What was the motivation for you to write this book?
Well, I'll tell you, Rick, I certainly didn't start out to write a book. My mother passed away in April of 2020, and I was going through her personal papers, and I discovered the letters that had been written to my mom and her family from my grandmother when she resided in the sanatorium. I had not known of their existence. And I realized at the very beginning that I wanted to share these letters with my family, my brother, my niece, my cousins. So I was familiar with photo books, and I just put together a photo book. I transcribed the letters and I included some pictures of the family from long ago. But friends kept encouraging me that I needed to do more with the letters. And so I started thinking about who might be interested in reading the letters. And I reached out to the American Lung Association, since they were founded to fight tuberculosis. And I reached out to the Heartland Tuberculosis Center here in San Antonio, who is involved today in research still for tuberculosis. And I was very encouraged to continue pursuing publishing this book. so others would read it. I was encouraged to think of the similarities of caregiving for the treatment of early tuberculosis patients and early COVID patients. So then I thought, in addition to the disease aspect, the fact that these were very poignant group of letters, I also thought there was a historical and regional aspect to the book, since they were written at the beginning of the Great Depression, and the family resided on a farm in southeast Kansas.
There are so many levels to the book, Letters from Sadie, letters written by Sadie Claire Markham Montgomery from the Norton, Kansas Tuberculosis Sanatorium. Darla Hedrick Quinn, the author, is our guest on the program. For a number of young readers, Tuberculosis Sanatorium, they would be lost with probably both of those. Tuberculosis, one of those things that we were able to conquer. Sanatorium is a word they're probably not all that familiar with. This really is a fascinating peek back into history, isn't it? And one of the layers of the book, it really shows us what our grandparents went through.
That's very true, Rick. The collection of letters... Sadie lived in the sanatorium that was 450 miles from her farm where her family lived. So there was very little transportation that was available. She was only visited once by her husband during her stay at the sanatorium. Because it was the beginning of the Great Depression, there was no telephone, no texting, no emails. So letter writing, which today is quickly becoming a lost art,
exactly,
was her only means to communicate with her family. And then also, the letters give us a look into her family life, worry over finances that a poor farm family faced back then. The actual narratives that come through are personal and poignant and bittersweet.
With us on the program is the author, Darla Hedrick Quinn. The book is Letters from Sadie. You'll find it available at all the usual places, and I will direct you to Darla's website, which is darlahedrickquinn.com, and we have that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can go there, link on directly to Darla's website, get information, and order the book there as well. This was written a period generations ago, but there still is relevance today, isn't there?
Oh, very much so, Rick. I kind of view the book's relevance, I separate it into three areas. First is tuberculosis. Most people don't realize that tuberculosis still exists today, primarily in third world countries, and is ranked in the top 10 of infectious diseases in the world today. There's a similarity with COVID-19. They were both infectious lung diseases requiring separation from family, many times with the patient dying away from the family. And as I've shared Sadie's story with friends, I'm amazed at how many people have been touched, how many families have been touched by tuberculosis somewhere in their family, in their past. Also, second, because Sadie resided in a sanatorium, similar to any care facility, there's a dependence on our caretakers, on doctors, nurses, staff, and volunteers that must meet social and emotional needs as well as medical needs when someone's isolated away from the family. So that occurred both in the past as well as in the early days of COVID here. The final relevance I see is that I did add this section called Final Journey, to try and assist families in understanding the ways they can support, assist, and advocate for their family members that are living in assisted living environments. My own mother lived 11 years in assisted facilities. I was her primary advocate and caretaker from afar, and I wanted to share my experiences with others.
That's why the book is so helpful. This is, again, a peek back in time. There are so many themes as you read the book, Letters from Sadie, and that being one, and we'll talk about that more here in a second, which is being a care provider, which is, as Darla mentioned, was a very important part of her life. Who do you think will find Letters from Sadie an interesting read? What is sort of the target audience you have in mind with Letters from Sadie?
I believe Sadie will appeal to many different readers. As a memoir, it is just a true, heartfelt story of a young woman separated from her family, her five children, her husband, due to her infectious disease the last year of her life. It also has the historical and regional significance as to the way of life on a poor Midwestern farm and life in a tuberculosis sanatorium at the beginning of the Great Depression back in 1932 and 33. I've included photographs of the family and photographs of the sanatorium so that people could also see what is being said and bring Sadie's words to life. And then because of COVID and ongoing TB research and treatment, I found the medical community to have a high interest in the book as well.
The book is Letters from Sadie, letters written by Sadie Claire Markham Montgomery from the Norton, Kansas Tuberculosis Sanatorium. Darla Hedrick Quinn is the author and our guest on the program. Her website, very simple. Her name, DarlaHedrickQuinn.com, and I'll spell that before we wrap up here. Amazon.com, a great place to go. ReadingGlassBooks.com, a book available basically wherever books are sold. Great information, as well, as I mentioned, on Darla's website. What do you hope the takeaway is, or the takeaways are, from reading Letters from Sadie? Again, there's so many messages that you've wonderfully written about in your book. What do you hope the takeaway is?
Well, again, I hope the readers would just learn about the history, life on a farm and life in a sanatorium in 1932. I'd like for them to understand the importance of communicating regularly with loved ones that live some distance away, and see the importance of being there to assist and advocate for a loved one in an assisted living environment. I would hope that they would also learn about this disease, tuberculosis, one of the deadliest and longest living diseases in all of human history that's still with us today. And finally, I believe that Grandmother Sadie would be very pleased to see her story living on and possibly influencing family members' involvement with loved ones in assisted living facilities.
You know, it's interesting. I learned something about tuberculosis today, and the fact that we really don't, it's not front and center of our minds here in the United States, but in other countries, it's still a devastating illness. And that's brought out in Darla's book and what's been done. And it does call attention to what obviously is a major health problem that people are facing all across the world. What did this book, writing this, do for you? You go back to April of 2020. You've got thoughts and visions of your grandmother in your mind from stories. Now you have all of this new information, and you're able to basically reassemble her life. What has this done for you? What has this done to the relationship, the memories of your grandmother?
Well, it's just been really, you can imagine the first time I sat down and found the letters and I read completely through them start to finish. And I was in tears at the end. It was just so heartfelt, so warming to hear my grandmother's voice for the first time and understand her thoughts and what she went through that last year of her life. It's been impressionable upon my family members, my brother, my niece, and I have great nieces and great nephews that are also have been influenced by being able to read the book. So it's made an impression on all of us.
You know, it's much easier now for us to go back and to look into our past, look into our ancestors, and sort of piece those missing puzzles of pieces from history together. Would you recommend people do that? It sounds like your life literally changed when you started reading these letters and looking at these pictures.
It did. It changed how I felt about my mother. It changed how I felt about the life that she lived when she was growing up on such a poor family farm. The struggle for finances. In Sadie's letters, she is constantly requesting either a dime or stamps or paper to write these letters home. And you see how poor her family must have been that she had to ask for this over and over. So and then it also gave me a glimpse into the farm life, because she's constantly asking about the cows, the horses, the chickens, and sowing the oats and hay. And it's just a beautiful glimpse into her life.
And as I mentioned in the beginning, it's a story of faith. You've got fear, hope, and love. Really, all the emotions are touched through Sadie in this book, aren't they?
You see her faith grow, I believe, that last year of her life. And not only her faith, but she's requesting her family to also have that faith and encouraging them to come to the Lord. And it's just, it shows her strength and how she was able to handle this disease.
With us on the program is Darla Hedrick Quinn. Hedrick is H-E-D-R-I-C-K, Quinn, Q-U-I-N-N. Darla Hedrick Quinn, book available at the usual places, including her website, which is her name. We'll have that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And the book is Letters from Sadie, letters written by Sadie Claire Markham Montgomery from the Norton, Kansas Tuberculosis Sanatorium. For 11 and a half years, you were the caregiver, as you mentioned, for your mother. Let's talk about that time period. What was that like for you? And you mentioned from afar where you had to like deal with these issues. Talk about that and maybe tips for so many people that are going through similar circumstances that might find themselves sort of thrust into this situation. They weren't planning on this happening, but because of illness, accident, whatever, all of a sudden they're a caregiver.
Yes, my mother had debilitating arthritis that impacted her mobility greatly. In the beginning, she was on a walker. My father passed away and she was still living at home, but one night she fell and couldn't get up and had to call. She was able to get to a phone and call a neighbor to come help her. And she made the decision that she wanted to go to an assisted living facility there in the hometown where I was raised, but neither my brother nor I lived there. So for the first 5 years of her living in assisted facilities, I would drive from San Antonio pretty much once a month. I would stay there for 4 or 5 days with her and then drive home. And so I would be there pretty much a week out of every month, taking her to lunch and dinner because she could still get in and out of the car. At one point then, she was ended up in an emergency room, and she was there all day by herself, and she realized that she'd rather be closer to me. And that was when she made the decision to move to San Antonio. So down here she came, and we had a really close time together when she could still get in and out of the car with me, taking her to lunch and bringing her over to the house. And I was with her probably 3 or 4 times a week for an hour to 2 hours or more. And then she got to where she couldn't get in and out of cars anymore. And so the nice thing about assisted living facilities today is that they can expand their level of care to meet the growing needs of the resident. And that's what happened here, is that the facility was able to meet her needs and take care of her until the end.
What advice would you give to someone? In the early days you were talking about, you would get there like on a monthly basis. How should people handle that? When they go in to visit, it's more than just a visit. Almost a reconnaissance project, isn't it? Sort of looking around, sensing if your mother's being taken care of properly, if there are things that you can do for her. How should you go about that when you're doing it from a distance?
Well, physically being there is really needed to assess if she's getting the proper care. There were issues at times with them giving her medicine or running out of medicine. There were issues with her eyesight and her hearing, so she needed to go visit the appropriate doctors to get hearing aids, to have her glasses checked. We brought in a large screen TV so that she could sit close to it. And I was able to find headphones that would connect to the TV so that she could turn them up loud without disturbing the entire wing where she resided and hear the TV. So she was able to have a connection with the world. When she moved to San Antonio, I like to tell the story, she became a big San Antonio Spurs fan, and she loved to watch the San Antonio Spurs on a basketball team on TV. And so it's just being there to assess what's needed, to make sure that things are happening. There was a point in time when I requested a meeting of the caregivers at the facility, the hospice caregivers that she had required, as well as some home care workers that were still coming in every day. And it was just a coordinating meeting to make sure everyone knew who was doing what and that there weren't things falling through the crack and not getting done for her. When she was not mobile, she couldn't even get a glass of water for herself. So people needed to come by her room on a regular basis just to check on her, see if she needed water, see if she needed to be repositioned. And it required a family member advocate like me to make sure that all of these things were happening.
Do you find that's difficult for some people to be an advocate? They feel like, okay, these are professionals. I don't know how to bring this up. I don't want to offend anybody because I'm leaving and they're taking care of mom or dad after I go. How difficult is it to be an advocate?
It's not easy. And you're right. You do have to address issues with these folks. I was very fortunate that the director of the facility, the last facility she was in, was always amenable and listening to my concerns and worries and worked with me to correct things that needed to be corrected. But it is difficult. That generation, my mother's generation, they do not like to ask questions or question an opinion.
Yes.
Or especially a doctor, they don't like to ask questions. So it was really important that I go with her to the doctor's office to understand what her issues were, what medicines she needed, because not only would she not ask questions, but oftentimes she wouldn't remember everything that was told that she needed to be doing.
With us on the program, a couple minutes left, letters from Sadie, letters written by Sadie Claire Markham Montgomery from the Norton, Kansas Tuberculosis Sanatorium. Darla Hedrick Quinn is our guest and the author of this book. A first-time book for you. What advice would you give to other first-time authors out there in getting started? Maybe little tips that you learned that, like, okay, I'm going to share these because I did the growing pains myself. I know what you go through first time.
It was quite an experience, let me tell you, and a surprise every step of the way because I knew nothing of what to expect. I was very fortunate to be recommended to a company that would assist self-published authors like myself with every step of the way, including things like design and layout of the book, design of the cover, editing, and then after the book was together and ready to go, the marketing of the book. And this company actually allowed me to pick and choose what I needed from them. And it was just very helpful. I ended up doing soft cover and ebook as well, and they were available with the people that knew how to format it into both of those editions. So that was really helpful. And then once it was out there, I was really fortunate to have book signings and be able to talk to people and kind of be out in the retail world and see who was interested in the book and who stopped by the table to talk to me about the book. The book also appeared in the LA Festival of Books last April and in the June issue of the Reading Nation magazine. So I was able to get exposure in that way. And the book just seems to have a life of its own. It's just all been very educational and exciting.
Got about a minute or so left here. Again, what do you hope the takeaway is? And because you've made that contact at book signings, you see what parts of the book interest people. What do you hope the takeaway is? Again, the book is written on several levels. You could just enjoy the history. You can appreciate where the country has come from tuberculosis being a major problem here in the U.S. Still is worldwide, as we find out, but still here, dealing as a care provider. What do you hope the takeaway is when people read letters from Sadie?
I think the biggest takeaway for me is remaining in contact and communicating with loved ones, because that communication is so very important. And then to be able to help and advocate for them with caregivers and help coordinate their care. That is just so important. I have seen people in assisted living facilities who don't have family members come visit them, who don't have family members call them on a regular basis. And it's just, it's sad. It's hard to understand how that happens. But that's the biggest takeaway for me, is to read letters from Sadie, see how important it was for her to talk to her family through those letters, and see how that applies to your life with your loved ones.
The book is Letters from Sadie, letters written by Sadie Claire Markham Montgomery from the Norton, Kansas Tuberculosis Sanatorium. Our guest is the author, Darla Hedrick Quinn, H-E-D-R-I-C-K-Q-U-I-N-N, if you're Googling. The book's available wherever books are sold. Also, Darla's website, DarlaHedrickQuinn.com. We'll have all that information on our website. Darla, an excellent job with the first book. Are you working on another book? Will we see any more from Darla?
You never know, but no, I'm currently not working on one.
Okay, well, if you decide to, or if you want to talk about your 56 Thunderbird someday, let me know, and we'll come on and talk about that as well. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thanks so much, Rick, for having me on your show.
It has been our pleasure. Darla Hedrick Quinn, the book is Letters from Sadie. Information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.